I know, everybody gives me trouble. You're like Jackie O. Marjorie O.
Well, nothing wrong with that. I was reading a story about people giving their children's names that were worn out.
Worn out?
Yes.
Oh, it is kind of funny. This one's not coming on. This is Sally Creevy. Today's date is November 6th. It is 1:08, and I'm conducting an interview with Marjorie O. Hedges for Quilters SOS, Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for American Quilts. Marjorie and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas. So Marjorie, let's tell me about this lovely cowgirl quilt.
Well, the reason I brought this quilt is because this was the quilt that kind of got me on the road that I am now to doing art quilts. And I guess to step back a little, I've been quilting since the early 80s. Basically, we bought a big four-poster bed and I decided this needs something traditional. So I didn't know how to make a quilt, but I went to a fabric store and I picked up a pattern. I fell in love with the Texas Lone Star and bought the fabric, went home and did it. And back then, for all I knew, the only way to quilt a quilt was by hand. So I bought a big hoop and I quilted it by hand. It took me about 6 months. And that was kind of the beginning, very traditional stuff. And I didn't quilt very much for about 20 years because I was working. I think I'm like probably like a lot of people, and I had a young daughter and everything. But this quilt, well, let me just say that in 2000, I started coming to these festivals and I started taking classes. And I kind of think of this as quilting university. I mean, where can you go and get access to all these wonderful teachers? And I fell in love with the pictorial quilts. So I decided I wanted to try and make one and see if I could enter it. And I started this in 2003. And it's basically based on my daughter. She grew up was a barrel racer. So she's in the center. She says she doesn't look like that, but I say, well, you know, artistic, it's an artistic version of you. But she's in the center, and then I just came up with other things that call girls could do, and that's where the source of this came. And lo and behold, it was juried in 2004, and that was when I got bitten by the desire to make these. And when somebody asks me what I do, I tell them I'm a competitive quilter. So this is where it all started. And I've been really blessed because I've had quilts juried in every year since then. Actually, I have two in this year. No big money yet, but I'm still there. I'm still
good
going.
Good for you.
So yeah, this is the one that started me on doing what I do.
Where does this live up someplace in your home?
Well, I don't it's as big as it is, I really don't have a wall to hang it on. So it is stored, but every once in a while I'll bring it out just because it means a lot to me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really lovely. And so what about the brands?
Yeah, brands? And I do a lot of research, and I kind of started researching what do brands look like, and I actually ended up, I got a little pamphlet that had brands that have been used in Texas, and that's where I got the different ones I put on there.
Fun. So you used machine embroidery on it,
mm-hmm.
on some of this. And you painted the faces?
Yeah. They're so small, there's not much you can do. But yeah, I painted the faces and machine appliqued everything.
That's really great. So what does your daughter think?
Oh, she likes it. She likes it, yeah. Like I said, she doesn't think it looks like her, but, you know.
So this is, you made this when?
This, I started in 2003, and got it took about six months at least to do it. And then I entered in the 2004 festival, so.
Do you still make pictorial quilts?
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's the thing. That's when I started doing pictorial quilts, and that's what I've done ever since. So, yeah, I love that. That's my thing.
People, animals, trees?
Yeah, I do some landscapes, mostly people and animals. I love to do animals. Yeah, that's what my passion is, I guess you could say.
Fun. That's fabulous. And so this is, so what do you think your personality is reflected in doing this? What?
I don't know. I mean, it's, I do like things to have, like the animals, my animals, I like them to have an attitude. And you don't necessarily see it in this, but in the future things that I've done, I try to have them be a little bit different. Like I always feel like when you do either an animal or person, at least one of the images should be looking straight at the viewer. And 'cause I think, you know, that's where your eyes go first and then look at the rest of it. I just want to make people stop and say, whoa, and then, you know, walk in closer and see what it is, you know, something to catch their eye. So that's my attitude, I guess.
Fabulous. Well, so tell me a little bit about the evolution of the quilt you have at the museum.
Oh, that is, I've started doing more things that really have to do with experiences I've had. Of course, this obviously was, but that one is when I was a child. That basically, that's an autobiographical quote, because the child in the center is me. When I was young, I was just so fascinated with fairy tales, and I used to get in trouble because I'd be reading them at night, you know, with the flashlight, and get in trouble with my mom. But yeah, I just loved fairy tales. That was my first real experience of reading a lot. And so that's why I thought, you know, I need to do a quilt about that. And the hardest thing was choosing the fairy tales, because there's so many that you love. But I had to narrow it down, because, I mean, it kept growing and growing, and you reach the point it doesn't even fit on your design wall, so I had to stop somewhere. But yeah, that's pretty much kind of an autobiographical quilt for me. So it means a lot to me. I miss it. I saw it at the museum, and I thought, oh, I miss this quilt.
Now, does it have a place in your home?
Oh, yes, it does. Yeah. I actually have a room that I have my grandparents' twin beds with quilts that my grandmother made with the same pattern that was on the little girl's bed. So it kind of coordinates. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, fabulous. So your grandmother, was that where your quilting background came from?
You know, I really wasn't aware or had a collection of my grandmother's quilts until after I started doing, because they were still alive and they were using them. And I knew that my grandmother quilted, but I didn't have any experience. Like, she didn't teach me, you know, we never talked about it. But after I started quilting, I really appreciated what she had done, and I do have her quilts now, and they're definitely keepsakes. So yeah, I appreciate what she did.
So did it skip a generation?
Kind of, yeah. My mother did a lot of embroidery, handwork. She was also an artist, but she didn't do quilts. So I that whole incident where we had bought the bed, and I just, you know, I need to make a traditional quilt, and that's where I just started doing it.
So what's your quilt process? Where do you start?
Oh, I usually have ideas for a couple of years before they actually happen. And I'm usually thinking of the figures. What do I want to do? And the rest, I start out with the main, like the little girl was the first thing. You know, I didn't know what fairy tales I was going to do. I just started with her. And then I started researching fairy tales. You know, I started reading them. I'd forgotten. Some of them are kind of violent and crazy. But I started reading a lot of fairy tales, trying to remember what the stories were. And so it just kind of grows from there. And then I never know, you know, what the border's going to be. It just has to evolve, you know. You start with a central idea, and then you just move out.
And you sketch?
Oh, yeah. I end up, when I finally decide, like, the central person or animal, yeah, that's drawn. I usually do it on a piece of paper and put it on my design wall. And then as I actually go ahead and make that with fabric, and then I work out and do more drawings. So, yeah. It just grows.
Do you ever end up with any piecing? I mean, any traditional piecing in your...
Well, a lot of times, on this, I end up sometimes I'll do like a virtual border, because I do like to do a combination, because there are a lot of really cool blocks and things, and sometimes I'll maybe have a border inside and just, you know, just have a binding to the outside. You know what I'm saying? It's like a virtual border, that's something that goes around. I kind of like that. Because a lot of the pictorial things, you really usually don't have a frame. Sometimes they just go to the end and you've got a binding. So But sometimes I like to put things within the quilt that would be kind of a more traditional piecing thing.
Yeah, like the quilt on your bed in the middle of the storybook quilt.
Yeah, yeah.
The little flower garden.
Yeah, yeah. And the fun about that was designing them so that they would have the perspective. And I actually used a computer program and put the design on it that you can actually tilt things. So technology today is amazing. You can do things that I wouldn't probably be able to do by eye. And I used that to design the ones that were on the top of the bed so I could get, you know, the narrow perspective. So, there's all sorts of wonderful tools today.
Well, what other kind of tools have you incorporated in your work?
Well, let me think. Well, of course, you know they have all the fusing stuff nowadays to help you hold things in place until you can actually stitch on them. Well, computers. So say you have a drawing and you want to increase the size. You know, you can posterize things. A lot of people go to FedEx or Ginkgo's or something and have them blow their picture up. But I never know for sure how big I want it, so I may have to do it multiple times. So I actually have a computer program, like a picture program, that you can tell it to posterize, and it just prints out on a number of 8.5 by 11s, and you put them all together. It's like a puzzle. Mm-hmm. And that's how I do mine, because I often have to do multiple times because I don't get it right the first time. So when I'm designing something, I start small, but then I get bigger. And that's the way I do it. So yeah, computers, yeah, that's...
Do you use photographs?
I do. I use photographs and I can draw pictures from that or I collect images. Like if I see something in the newspaper, I saw this cowboy one time lasting. We have a rodeo here in Houston every year. And they had a cowboy who was lassoing this calf, and I thought, what a wonderful image there. And I'll cut it out and I'll save it. I have files and files of stuff that every once in a while I go digging through to find something. But oh yeah, you see things all around you and you think, oh, I gotta save that. That could be a quilt someday.
What are you working on now that's got your juices going?
Yeah, I have been thinking about this for a while. In fact, the drawing's been on my design wall for over a year, which is pretty sad, but I was thinking of doing this. What I'm doing is like a family of horses. At first I was thinking of kind of like a horse collage, like a dad, a mom, and a baby. And at first I was thinking I would crop them down, not have the whole body and everything, but I drew that out. It looked pretty good, but when I started to use the fabric, I realized, no, that's not going to work. So I've redesigned it now, and I do have their bodies in there and their legs. And that's the start of it. Once I get them done, then I'm going to figure out where I'm going to go from there. And I have some general ideas about the background. But, you know, like I said, I start with the main idea, and it grows from there. So that's what I'm doing right now.
When do they get their names?
I don't have a name for this one yet. It takes a while. It's usually closer to when they're done. although I shouldn't say that, because I had a name for this when I started it. You know, my heroes have always been cowgirls. I had that right away. So it varies. You know, sometimes it's right away, and sometimes it has to grow on me, and then I decide later.
That's fabulous. Well, so tell me about your quilt community.
I do belong to a guild, the Kingwood Area Quilt Guild, and I actually joined them, I think it was in the late 90s. And it's a great group because we bring in speakers and have lectures and have workshops. And so that was kind of the start of me starting to get more and more, you know, involved, plus coming to the quilt show here. So yeah, it's a great group. Yeah, I've been with them now for a long time.
Have you taught people to quilt? Do you teach?
No, I'm not a really good teacher. I'm more of a doer. So, I'm in a number of bees, and we have this little thing where we do. Somebody has to bring a project sometimes, and I've done a little bit of that. But no, I'm not much of a big teacher.
In your family at all? Is it going on to the next generation?
Well, my daughter is artistic. She's an interior. She's got an interior design degree, and she does that kind of work. But she's not. She's more of a designer for that sort of thing. She doesn't do handwork or quilting or anything like that. Her her interest has gone in another direction, but she still obviously has some artistic abilities to be able to do that kind of thing. So,
is there part of quilt making that you don't like?
Oh, the bindings and the sleeve. I bet everybody says that, don't they? The bind, yeah. Got to do it, but...
The end, huh? So what are your favorite techniques, methods, parts?
Well, the most fun part is designing. I mean, you know, anything's possible then. And then the hard part is making it work, you know, making it after you've made the design. But yeah, that's my favorite, you know, designing, drawing, doing the pattern and everything. And I do enjoy making the applique pieces and getting the, when they start to go together and you start to see what it's going to look like. I think I enjoy all of it, actually. I enjoy the quilting, too, because that, I mean, once you get the top made, if it really looks good to you, you know it's going to be fantastic because the quilting just makes it better, you know, with the thread painting and the details and everything. So I guess I like it all.
Are there some of your favorite colors that you always use or don't use? Or
I'm a big fan of orange. Orange and red and yellow. I like bright colors. I like colors that stand out. I do.
What about styles of fabric?
Batik. Oh, man, I love batiks. That's my favorite.
That's fun. So I wanted to know some of the different things about your other part of your quilt life. So when you go to a show, what kind of quilt stops you in your tracks?
Obviously the pictorial art quilts. And that's where I usually go to first because I just love them. And of course then I look at these hand quilts and the pieced ones that are so, I mean, I'm not a big piecer. And I just so respect them because I can't believe the intricacy and all the points working, you know, I just really, really admire that. But obviously the first place I go, you know, is the art quilts because that's what I like to do.
Is there any particular people that you always want to run and look at their work?
It's funny because at the festival last year, I took one of these seminar things with David Taylor from Steamboat Springs. And he is an art quilter. I fell in love with him and his work. And sure enough, he won first and third in my category this year. And one of my quilts is hanging next to him. I'm so excited. So yeah, I went to look for his stuff right away because I love what he does. And he's my current, you know, quilt star. David Taylor.
So tell me about where do you sew?
I am so lucky. We have a house that the people before us added a big rec room to the back of it. And like it's a type of room you put a pool table in and it has a, you know, spot for a big screen TV. Well, that's my room. And it's all turned over to, I've got a design wall where you would put the big screen TV is where I have all the racks and I store all my thread. And I've got, you know, work tables. I do have a little area with a couch and a TV, but the rest of it is all completely turned over to fabric storage and work tables and ironing, you know, tables and all that. It's fantastic.
So do you, what kind of machine do you use?
I've got a Bernina. When I started out years and years ago, I had one of those little old Singer, I think it was a 60s version. I don't even think it had a zigzag. But then I discovered Bernina when I started, you know, doing more elaborate stuff. And yeah, I love my Bernina. It's good.
You have an embroidery machine also?
No, uh-uh. If I'm going to do embroidery, I'm going to do it myself, not do it with a machine.
Good for you. That's fabulous. So I wanted to know what you think makes a really great quilt maker.
Well, the techniques. I mean, once the people that like the people that are so good with the hand applique, I mean the techniques, if they're really got fine quilting techniques and applique work, that makes a great quilter, I really think. Oh, plus also, you know, being the visual, having something that can draw your attention, that, you know, draws you in, it's the whole package, you know, to be able to design something that people will stop and look at, and plus having the technique, because that's when they walk closer, you got to follow up with having the good technique. So all over good artist and quilter.
Do you sell your quilts?
Some small things. I haven't sold the big ones. I get so attached to them, I can't. But yeah, I've done some small work. I actually, when I went up back in the early days when I was doing traditional stuff, I made a lot of traditional miniatures, and I got into eBay, and I sold approximately, I think I sold about 300 quilts, little miniatures on eBay, back when it was easy to sell on eBay. It's not easy anymore. But then I got into doing these competition things, and I mean, they take 6 months, a year to make, so I kind of got away from all that. But yeah, I used to sell a lot, and since I still sell small ones once in a while.
Do you do any commission work?
No, I have this attitude, I'd rather do what I want to do than what somebody else wants me to do. So no, I pretty much do my own work.
So what has quilt making done for you?
Oh, it's a passion. It's just, I love it. I can't wait to do it. You know, I try to get all my chores and everything done and get home and do it. I mean, it's just, it's the most wonderful time that I could possibly have. Plus the fact that I've made so many friends, you know, belong to the guild and everything. For years I worked, you know, my friends were work friends, but I never had friends outside of work because I was so busy. Now I've got all sorts of friends and they all have the same interests. It's really expanded my life, I think. It's wonderful.
I want to know what you think about, where do you think quilt making is going?
Wow, who knows? With all, you know, it's changed a lot. With all, now they're doing the digital stuff, and I don't know where else it can go. I mean, I'm sure there's other things that will be, new techniques that will be developed and everything, but I mean, it is amazing when you look at all the machinery and sources and computers and everything, all the materials we have. I have no idea. Who knows? It could go anywhere.
Do you have any concerns about where quilt making is going?
Well, I know there was a big hubbaloo when the first, what's her name? Hollis Shatlin, when she did it's a whole cloth quilt, it was painted and quilted. And personally, I think quilts are all art. And I think it's all art. Even everything from the 1800s, it's always been art. And I don't have any problem with that. I think they're all beautiful. So, yeah, I love quilts.
let's see. So, so what's happened to the quilts that you have made?
Well, quite a few of them are displayed in my home. My husband keeps telling me, do we really have to hang another one? You know, and I kind of sneak them up in places. But yeah, most of them are hanging. Of course, in my sewing room, I've got a bunch on the wall in there. But I have reached the point where I've started doing smaller work because I can't give them up. Most of them I can't give up. So I have to have some place where I can kind of transition, go through various ones. So I've started making smaller ones, but I do have most of them hanging right now. I've given them to family. So,
have you ever used quilt making to get through a difficult time?
Not really. I haven't had too many difficult times. I guess I've been lucky.
Or how about have you found an amusing time around a quilt?
Well, one of the quilts that's in the show right now is of my dog chasing a squirrel up a tree, and of course, we have three Jack Russells. We love them all. And this is something I see every day. And it's fun. It's very entertaining. And they never give up. You'd think they'd figure it after a while. They're not going to catch these things. But yeah, that's something that's kind of amusing. I like to do something from what I see every day. And that's something I see every day.
So how much time a week do you quilt? Oh, any idea?
It varies. Sometimes I don't quilt at all during the week, and other times I may have a few full days, which is wonderful. If you've got a whole day at home and you can work all day, it just varies.
Oh, let's see what else.
Attention, please, attendees. We'd like to announce the winner of the Viewer's Choice Award for the QA Quilt Show. Viewer's Choice Promises by Sharon
Schaumer. Oh, yeah.
You can view it at the front of aisle M. Also, this is your half-hour warning for the IQA raffle. We'll be doing that around 2 o'clock, and you can get your last raffle tickets.
Do you consider yourself a fiber artist?
Yeah, I do, because I do, and some of the smaller quilts that I do, I use embellishments, and I love ribbon embroidery and things like that. And I've got some methods of, I do actually paint on quilts more than I used to, and I like to manipulate fabric and stuff. I mean, yeah, that's fun too. I usually do that on smaller things.
So what have you put on quilts that's not fabric?
Oh, let me think. Well, I've done things like, well, it is fabric still. I did a quilt about my inspiration was a Brahms Rhapsody, and I actually printed the sheet music onto fabric and scrunched it up and took a picture of that, and that put that on a quilt. I've put beads, buttons, ribbons, just, you know, probably pretty standard embellishments, but and a lot of like decorative threads and. I discovered this stuff that this one booth has here. There are sari strips. Not wonderful. They're all different colors. Just really bright things that you can add just to change it up a little.
Do you have a bucket of embellishments at your house waiting to go somewhere?
Oh, I've got tons of embellishments. More than one bucket.
What's in your bucket?
Well, lots of ribbons and lots of, like, I got lots of things you could use for jewelry making, but I think of them to use on quilts. Beads. My brother has been in the antique business for over 30 years, and he will bring me lots of jewels of, like, he, you know, just things of old jewelry, things you can just pull apart and do whatever you want with. He's also brought me a lot of vintage antique fabric too, which I have a great source of that, and handwork, tatting, oh, you name it. I've a lot of handwork, like crocheting and stuff that you could, you know, add into quilts too. Got a lot.
Fabulous. So you're working on your horses.
Yes.
The three horses. Mm-hmm. What, something else just bubbling over in your head?
Well, I usually do two larger quilts a year to try to compete with. And the other one I'm thinking of is my mom, I told you, was an artist. And when I was little, my dad was with the Marines, and we were in I forget the name of the Marine course, the Marine base, but it was in North Carolina, and we lived on a beach. And she had this picture she took of my brother and I think he was maybe 4 and I was maybe 2. And we were standing on the beach, and he was holding my hand, and we were looking out at the water, and there was like a shrimper boat out there, and she painted that later. And I've been thinking for years I ought to do that in a quilt, so I think that may be my second quilt this year.
Oh, fabulous. With a bucket. With your bucket. All right. Is there anything else that you wanted to add or talk about or mention that's just such a part of your quilting life?
I don't know. I think we've done a good job. I think we've covered a lot.
And your husband's not quilting yet, huh?
Oh, no. But, you know, he's my biggest fan. He is. He's always bragging about me, so he's a good support guy.
And your daughter?
Oh, she likes my stuff, too. In fact, she came to the quilt show for the first time this year. So she lives in Austin, so she came over. So,
has she seen your quilt in the museum?
No, she hasn't been there yet, but she's going to get there. That's close, fairly close to Austin. I think she'll get over, yeah.
Oh, how fabulous. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So I would like to thank Marjorie for allowing me to interview her today for the Quilters SOS Save Our Stories Oral History Project. Our interview concluded at 1:36.
We did pretty good.